RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
My name is Al Whitney. Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this 24th day of November 2018. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of most resources on our planet, including human. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as flesh and blood living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found either on my primary website, anticorruptionsociety.com, or my secondary site, parentsagainstmandatoryvaccines.net. There is also an IDH program links page on the anticorruptionsociety.com website where you can locate links to many of the topics we discuss on the show. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed at the top of my website. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab. This guide contains valuable tools for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government, as does the notice of condition precedent information also on my website. If you haven't yet processed your own notice, please check it out. Well, on this Saturday after Thanksgiving, I hope everybody is doing well. We had a pretty wonderful Thanksgiving. No, nothing got burnt. And everybody showed up. And what can I say? It went without glitch. And that's always kind of nice. But Thanksgiving's over, and the TV is completely polluted with commercials for Christmas already. And it's only November 24th, and I'm already sick of them. So we got a long way to go, a whole nother month listening to that stuff, if you watch TV, which I think the really smart people never do. But unfortunately, my husband likes to watch certain things every evening on TV, so it is on. Well, I'd like to talk tonight about the statin wars, which are ramping up, More and more people are becoming familiar with the problem. And I ran into a YouTube this week that I thought was just dynamite. It featured a Dr. Marianne DeMasi from Australia. The YouTube is entitled Dr. Marianne DeMasi, Statin Wars, Have We Been Misled by the Evidence? And I will post a link on the IDH program links page so you can watch it if you wish, because she does have some visuals. I'm not sure you need them, but it kind of helps. And this talk that she gave was done on June 28th, 2018. Now, Dr. Marianne DeMasi is a formal medical scientist who completed her PhD in medicine at the University of Adelaide in South Australia. She then was sort of lured into ABC television in Australia, and she won numerous accolades for her work as a documentary. Well, she had a program called Catalyst, which I think she produced and narrated. And she won awards in 2008, 2009, and 2011 for her program called Catalyst. She was also awarded the
beep, 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 beep. We interrupt this program. Actually, it was a recording. Sorry, folks. Had some technical difficulties this morning. You're listening to Republic of Texas Radio. I'm Steve O'Brien. I am your host. That was Al Whitney, you know, and, yeah, rest in peace, Al Whitney. She left us several years ago. Years ago, my God, man, months ago. You can listen to the rest of that broadcast out there in the archives if you go to republicbroadcasting.org. I was kind of getting into it myself, but yeah, we have a show of our own to do, and today is Sunday, September 22nd. Did I say that, Alan? Are you there?
Yeah, but I'm still going to call it August 53rd.
Still August 53rd.
Like I said, they've stolen our language. I'm taking their month, dadgummit.
I gotcha. Well, anyways, we have a chat room out there. That was how I knew that Republic was having problems, is the people out in the chat room are kind of going, hey, the stream's down. Something's wrong, right? And Ken's like clockwork. So, you know, I know something's going on, and I guess Republic was just stopped. Everything was down. That was kind of cute. And so he had to bring all the lights up, turn all the knobs and switches on. But in the end, we're here and we're ready to go. I guess we'll take callers if you want to call. I do have a bunch of content that I wanted to cover, and one piece of information that seems very elusive to me, which maybe I'll bring to you next week. You know, this week was the week of the start of the Trump impeachment thought process show or something like that. Did you hear anything about that, Alan?
Oh, I've heard talk of impeachment against someone. I thought Trump was kind of out of it a little bit. Who is it they're trying to impeach? The federal judge, the Supreme Court guy.
No. It's Trump, right? No, they brought one of Trump's cronies on and tried to give him to talk about something or other, and he said, nah, look at the book, you know. It's a weird little show when side A and side B interrogate, you know, a person that doesn't want to talk. What was the guy's name? Ken, maybe you can remind me. Lewandowski. The guy's name was Lewandowski, and so this guy is testifying before Congress, and they're trying to dig some stuff up or hang Lewandowski. And you can tell, right, when somebody's trying to hang you with words. And you got a whole bunch of legally phrased questions coming at them. and the White House gave him a blanket little letter saying, well, you can only comment on the stuff you commented on before, right? And so he had a little ninja move that he was using that they didn't think was a ninja move. But it was pretty stupid. You know, the Democrats would say, and so when did Trump, you know, kick the kitten? And he goes, can you show me which page that I said that Trump kicked the kitten? And they go, why should I have to just tell me about Trump kicking a kitten? He's like going, oh, my God. What kind of a show are we in? And, you know, they're going to do that again, I guess, and again and again. And, yeah, you said Kavanaugh, you know, the judge, super, oh, we've got to get rid of the liberal Republican judge. I don't know. That guy was supposed to be all pro, you know, whatever.
And he was our savior, and, yes.
Yeah, I guess. You know, but, you know, he talked bad about women, or, well, the women said that, I don't know, stupid. Everything about that Kavanaugh, well, most things in life and reality are stupid.
When he was in sixth grade, he reached over and pulled a girl's pigtail in school. We knew he's got to be taken out of there. That's just wrong. Yeah, Steve, this whole damn game that they play with us, you know, it's like I sit here and, you know, I watch Pompeo up giving testimony, you know, about, oh, it was Iran. We know for certain, almost positively, kind of, sort of, that Iran had to do it. It couldn't have been the Houthis, you know. And we're supposed to believe anything that this guy says after his video when he was being interviewed and they were talking about, you know, when you graduate from West Point, you know, you take this oath, you know, talking about honesty, integrity, and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, hey, when I was ahead of CIA, you know, all we did was lie, cheat, and steal. We had whole classes in lying, cheating, and stealing. And, folks, that is the truth. They do. They have classes. You know, it's like the people that are in charge of the people that were in, like, and I'm sorry if some of you good people out there might have done this, but the ones who are, you know, in debate club in high school, or, you know, in the student government, those from the time where, you know, that when they were in elementary school, they were the crossing guard, you know, or the hall monitor, you know. These little Eddie Haskells of the world that have always wanted to tell everyone else what to do, you know, even though they really have no clue as to what the world is, except for they want yours and everyone else's stuff too, along with theirs. So, you know, it's amazing that Pompeo is even still allowed to get up there and say anything. But then most of the people that, even if they saw that little clip, they'll, you know, when you bring it up to them, they'll look at the sky and they'll say, is it going to rain today? You know?
Yeah, weren't we talking about that just yesterday, Alan? You know, the types of people that get older and then they pretend that they've never used the cat box. And, you know, like, oh, I've always been in just really straight and upright.
Obey all the laws as you're riding in a pickup with them and they roll through a stop sign. Yeah. Well, you just broke the law right there. No, I didn't. I stopped. I'm like, well, if there's a cop sitting there, you wouldn't have stopped.
Well, that doesn't matter. That's different.
Right.
You know, that's different. You know, I would. I could get started. I definitely could. But
yeah, well, you know, Steve, you started off, Steve, saying, you know, you said, we are here. And you know, I think back, you know, to this whole question of, you know, like, are we alone in the universe and everything? You know, you remember a Dr. Seuss children's cartoon or in a book? It was called Horton Hears a Who.
Right.
And if you look past, you know, it supposedly being for children and everything, I noticed this as a child. That one always stuck with me, you know. Worlds within worlds within worlds within worlds within worlds, you know. Are we the most specialist thing that's ever existed, or are we just a little mote of dust sitting on a daffodil, you know? And you know, we got a Horton out there that says, no, hey, there's life here, and you know, all the monkeys are running around wanting to, you know, boil it in oil. And I really thought about that, you know. I was like, wow, worlds within worlds within worlds, simply because we don't recognize with our sensory organs that it's there does not mean that it's not there. I guess maybe that's why one of the things got me interested in science.
Well, hey, to some people right now, today, the world is the most fascinating and bright and vivid and whatever, you know, because they live on the whatever, the fluff, right? I was doing some research on this one job classification, for lack of a better term. It's called an internet influencer. And I heard this tale, Alan, and I heard this tale of an internet influencer, boy meets girl, out on the internet as they tweet their Twitter plot, tweeting and tweaky, whatever, right? And then they decided that they were going to get married, but they don't see each other too often. Once in a while, they arrive in the same city together and they hang out together. So they did this big Twitter tweet, right? And he tweeted her different things, and he tweeted of a plane ticket, and it brought her through 14 countries, right? And at the end, he was there, and he said, "Will you marry me?" Tweet, tweet, tweet. I'm going, are you flipping kidding me? You're a couple of overprivileged kids twitting, calling yourself influencers, and maybe you do have influence, right? I don't know how you got it. I don't know how you got your millions. Right, where did your money come
from? This is one of, probably one of those jobs you can get with one of those one of today's degrees, like left-handed underwater women's basket weaving with an emphasis on menstruation. That's probably kind of the degree that you use to get that job.
You don't need a degree, right? You need some Russian hackers, right? You know, or some Yugoslavian or Chinese, or you know, even you just rent them from the dark web. I don't know. Maybe they're actually funny, Alan. I don't know. But these individuals are running around this planet, right, thinking everything is wonderful. Oh, look, here's a new phone. It has 96 cameras on it. How neat is that? I'm going to throw it away because I like mine or whatever. I don't know. I can't get myself into that mindset yet. I do understand that mindset from coming, you know, growing up as a technologist. Kind of not knowing the real world or stuff. Case in point, assault rifles, you know, the term that they like to use. We did spend 2-3 weeks talking about rifles and stuff like that, folks, and I was going to back it off quite a little bit. But back in the day when I was growing up, I didn't put too much thought into that kind of stuff. Right, I'd see the cops changing, you know, weapons and walking around being all swatty, right? You know, oh, okay, now we got a billet club, and we don't have a revolver, now we have a magazine pen. Oh, that's neat, you know. Hey, is that a Glock? I hear that's plastic. Go away, kid, you bother me. You know, they'd do that stuff to me when I was a kid because I'd ask stupid questions like, is that a Glock? You know, but I didn't know anything about the gun, right? I really didn't want to get too much into this, but last night another listener, you know, came by the house and he threw down a book here, and it's called The Shooter's Bible, 103rd edition. And I said, well, imagine that. I'm all, what's in there? He says, well, have yourself a look. I go, okay. So I've been flipping, flopping through the whole thing, learning like Obuko, a whole bunch of stuff. Right, and I keep the common thread ends up going to the word assault weapon, right? You know, and they always talk about that. And you go, well, can you define an assault weapon? You know, a weapon that they use to kill lots of people. I'm like, well, let's see. I see some of these firearms in here in replicas that were used to tame the Wild West. And, you know, I remember Sarah Winchester back in California drove herself mad because she took on the whole weight of the Winchester Empire onto her fragile little brain and said, I'm responsible for everybody killed with the Winchester rifle. Was that an assault rifle? It surely assaulted her. You know, at least the history of the Winchester Corporation. She didn't get to head off into Twitter land. I don't know.
Well, you know, Steve, back when we were taming the West, the Winchester lever action 1871 was a dadgum assault rifle if you were an Indian.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I guess it was accurate. No, is that a black
and
powder?
Rapid fire? You didn't have to stuff a bullet down the muzzle? Yeah, it was rapid fire. Yeah, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Was that a black powder device, Alan? I guess
they started out with black powder cartridges. That's where all, you know, like the 25-35 and the 30-40 and the 40, you know, 44-40, all these cartridges. You know, the first one was the caliber. The second one was a load of powder that was put, you know, between the primer and the bullet. You know, to drive the bullet out. You know, so that, you know, yeah, you know, the Buffalo rifles were like 5100s, you know, and they had some huge 5120s, some big cartridges, you know, for shooting buffalo. But yeah, that's the designations that were made for those.
That were on them.
I think the 3030 was the one of the first, you know, smokeless cartridges that came out. That's why it was so popular.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Smokeless cartridges means that it's not a black powder.
Right. Didn't not as much corrosion and not as much fouling in the barrel, so you could shoot more bullets without having to stop and clean it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so, but I hear, you see, I really didn't even know that there were that many advanced firearms that shot black powder. I thought that they were, you know, had changed at some other time, but of course my ignorance is never bounding over
the
world.
You know, the old 1870, you know, the muskets, you know, they took those and a lot of those and converted them over to breech loaders. And, you know, that's where like the 45-70, you know, some of these great big, you know, cartridges that were used. Yeah, that's you know, those were some of the first conversion cartridges when they switched from a muzzle stuffer to, you know, a breech loader, even if it had a, you know, a paper cartridge, you know. Yeah, it's quite an advancement at the time.
Yeah, I guess what got me with that was black powder, firearms, I guess, for lack of better terms, aren't considered guns. And so, at least here in the state of Texas, they say, well, you can, you know, that's not a firearm or that's not a gun or something. And so it's not even covered under our open carry or concealed carry permit because it's considered, of course, you can have it, right? But, and I'm like, wow, is that actually true? So I can just dress like, you know, Jesse James and have this revolver sitting around my waist with a cartridge or, you know, I'm like going, damn. And then I looked in the news, I go, man, of course somebody's done that before. And it really pissed off the cops when Open Carry Texas decided to walk into the, you know, I don't guess it was the courthouse or something like that, you know, where they're like, oh, you can't bring a gun. And they're like, no, it's not a gun. Sorry. Yes, I can. They're like, oh, God, really? But... okay, I digress too much. Hey, we do have a chat room. It's over at republicoftexas.chattango.com. Got a couple people in there, you know. And so we got a little bit of a late start today. There were some problems, but Kenneth kind of sorted them all out. Probably would be a really good time to say a little bit of... non-RBN news, but first let's say RBN news. RBN needs your donations, needs your support. Please head over to republicbroadcasting.org and give what you can. We could probably use some more infrastructure over there, and I know for a fact that Ken could use a paycheck, and so can, you know, all the other folks that work there at RBN. And that's about it. Some old RBN news. I don't know if you've been keeping up with this. Alan, this you're going to particularly like and dislike, but we'll figure it out one way or the other. Let me get to that one little bit. It's right about here. There we go. This comes from Art, right? Art sent this email out last night to me, and it says that the Darren Weeks will be coming back on the air. As far as I know, that it's just going to be off of governamerica.com. He'll be coming back on the air in October on the 19th, 11 o'clock. So Govern America is going to be back. Woo! So anyways, congratulations, Darren. You know, it's going to be good to hear you again.
Maybe we can see that guy.
Yeah, and Vicky will be back on with him. So it's going to be kind of nice. Because Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and the globalist plan, that seems to have been there for a long time, a long damn time. You know, Alan, back when I was just a wee computer geek, we were taught all sorts of fairy tales, right? The fairy tale of how the Unix operating system was created. Was that true? Was that not true? What is even, most people out there don't even know what the Unix operating system was, right? They don't care, right? They go, I don't really care, right? Well, this story that I've got coming up next is about a person who understood what the Unix operating system was. It was just an operating system that made the computer do all your things, right? You say 1 + 1 = 2, right? And he said, well, I want to be able to do some other stuff with it, right? And so this guy's like, well, hey, you know, let me do this. And they go, nah, it's copyrighted. You can't. So screw you. I want to do some stuff on this Unix thing that you've got. And they said, no, you know, you can't see that. You can't do that. Do it yourself if you want to do it. And so he turned around and he did it himself, right? His name was Richard Stallman. And this story is very interesting for the fact that he created a chunk of reality that bled down to the, well, it's everywhere on the internet. It's on most every single cell phone that there is, right? He created what was called open free software. Right, the GNU Foundation. Richard Stallman was an icon, and he still is technically an icon.
Steve, is that the kind of big chubby guy with kind of long hippie hair type?
Yeah, big chubby guy.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so Stallman even claims to have created the everybody lets him get away with his little exaggerations, right? You know, or at least everybody used to let him get away with his big exaggerations. They used to be kind to him because of, well, hey, he was the first guy to create a compiler, and with that, we were able to create a free world, and now the world is going free, and free as being intellectually free, not necessarily free as being no money, profit free. But it was great, right? Because so all of a sudden we've got, you know, we can create our own operating system. This guy made this thing called Linux in 91. And then he looks at it and he says, that's my operating system. You go, what? And he goes, yeah, that's my operating system. I created the program that created the operating system. So that's a GNU. He says, no, that's what he created off the, you know, he's like, that's mine. That's mine. I did that. I'm like, whoa, okay, you're freaked out, dude, but that's fine. And they let him do that, right? So that started back in the 80s, the late 80s. Now, Richard Stallman has been the head of MIT in certain different areas and recently came under attack because of his involvement with Epstein. So it turns out his groups, Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein. Oh, I remember that guy. Didn't he like kick a kitten or something?
Yeah, he kicked a kitten for sure. So Wired has an article. They probably did it justice. Which is really funny because it's like, so all of a sudden you've got this guy that was deemed as a hero to everything. I got Jerry on the line. Hang on there, Jerry. I'll get to you here in a second. But this Epstein guy, you know, the pedophile.
There's a commercial break, Steve.
Wow, I'm not hearing the music, but Yeah, I guess it is coming. And
the reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
All right, we're back, Republic of Texas Radio. Bumpity, bumpity, rickety, tickety. We're going to be kind of like limping along here on Sunday, actually. Ken's figured out a bunch of different ways to make up for the, you know, well, the failed equipment that Republic Broadcasting has had this weekend. Remember, republicbroadcasting.org. That's how you can help. You know, if you want to help. Otherwise, prayers would be good, too, I guess. You know, they definitely, it's not like they're Democrats here. So, yeah, anyways, I was talking about Richard Stallman, and I do got a couple people on the phone line right this second, but I wanted to start this conversation about Richard Stallman, this icon, this hero of the Internet, and how he fell, and he fell so dang far, because his comments that he came out with led him to quit his Free Software Foundation as well as Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And that is no small thing that just happened, you know, for an Internet hero to, you know, come down, because he believed that, well, he's a big proponent of not having kids. He has choked down so much of the bad pills that he believes that, yeah, whatever, you can find out what he believed. But he believes it's okay for you to have sex with minors as long as they're consensual, you know, or you can trick them into having sex with you, that's just part of the game. and he's written some questionable things. And so as soon as his connections to Epstein surfaced, they looked at his writing and said, oh, my God, me too. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's working for us? Oh, what were all these complaints from the other women that take his... Oh, we thought that was cute. Oh, shoot. Hey, you better tell this guy to leave, you know, because Richard Stallman's in the building. And, wow, that's kind of... I don't know if it's a shame. I don't know if it's a crime. I don't know what it is. It's just what
today's
it is.
Today's world.
Where, you know, this important, powerful person is pushing the pedophilia agenda, you know, on, well, his thing was underage females. He believes that, if you will have sex with him, then it's okay. Right? That's pretty much what, and he says, well, you're the parent, who cares, you know? You're upset that your creation, this girl, wants to have sex with me, you know? If it's consensual, it's consensual. But the whole thing is the little girl, we call them minors for a reason, because they haven't fully grasped the brevity of all these decisions that they're making, and we try to keep our kids safe for a certain amount of time so they can learn to think on their own. And that would be the only reason I could even see having age ranges. But he, of course, misses that point altogether by saying, in technical terms, I created Linux. Right? Like, oh, what, dude? Are you serious? You're clueless. And so many people grab their heads. I don't know.
I grab my head when I think about how hard it must be to be a parent nowadays and keep that child innocent, yet still, you know, tell them about the world that, you know, there are bad people out there and everything. How do you keep them innocent when most people give their kids complete free access to all the information of the world?
Yeah, and they'd probably get in trouble if they didn't give it to complete free. I'm so far in all different directions. Let's hit the phone lines up real quick, and then we'll get... Oh, okay. Well, bye, Jerry. You can call back if you ever feel like it. But we do have Chance. Is that... Hello, Chance. Are you there?
Hello, Steve. Hello, Al. Oh, by the way, I'd like to know, have any of you guys, either one of you, heard from Dr. Krupa lately, and how's he been doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do a radio show with him on Wednesday evenings, every Wednesday evening from 6 to 8. It's Doc Krupa's Natural Health Hours, and it's on, on all those Spotify and Spreaker and all those other thingies that I don't know about.
Oh, okay. Well, I listen on the satellite radio, so I apparently don't get that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, no, don't get Doc anymore.
Yeah, you got to tell him I said hello. Steve, you mentioned that female heiress from Winchester. I seem to have read a while ago that woman, she eventually flipped out and lost it and became really paranoid, and she built all these secret rooms in her mansion. Have you heard anything about that?
Uh-huh. I lived near the mansion. So for a while there, I lived down in San Jose, California, and she had... Well, they have a huge street named after her. It's called Winchester Boulevard. And there's the Winchester Mansion by a bunch of movie theaters. And, yeah, you walk into the house and there are doors leading, you know, to the ceiling, to the ground.
Yeah, it's some doors. Crazy. Yeah, and some of those doors led to nowhere. There was no room. It was really weird. I read that a while ago. The reason why I called... The reason why I called is what I can't understand with this Russian collusion thing. You know, in every other country, practically, whenever there's an attempted coup against the government, the people who conspire actually get executed. In this country, they don't even get brought to trial. I can't understand it.
Right. And, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is a perfect example of that. You know, he's colluding to take over the U.S. elections, and, you know, he's working together with Google and Twitter, and all them are pushing their own agenda. If collusion is really something, they're trying to, but they're definitely influencing everything, and it's damn well probably treasonous. You know, I don't know.
Every other country puts them to death when, every other country puts them to death when they attempt to coup. This country, they don't do nothing. They just let it happen. And as far as these impeachable offenses, now, I'm no big Trump fan anymore. I'm a little disappointed. But there is nothing, there are no impeachable offenses. I can't understand what they're grasping at straws.
What they're trying to do, they're trying to retroactively make youthful indiscretions crimes. You know, this is part of the whole thing. You know, the pre-crime, the post-crime. You know, looking back on your record. You know, all you folks out there who have been computerized all this time, all your keystrokes being logged. You know, you remember when Intel came out and said that, you know, well, yeah, the processor chips, yeah, there's the basically back doors. We don't even have to hack into them. You know, we can just access the back door that we put in there when we made the damn chip.
Yeah, but do you realize if they carry on like that, they could do that to anybody in this country. Everybody's had some minor discretion or infraction in their lives that they're not proud of. I mean, it's ridiculous. You could do it to every single person in the country if you wanted to.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well,
I totally agree.
I do believe that we've already been told that we're all being spied on. Right? They made that quite clear. You know, Snowden released some details about what he knew about stuff. But again, what he released, he also knew how ignorant he was of the entire system. So for anybody to be thinking that they're not being surveilled, man, you got some blinders on.
And, like it or not, what they're trying to create is, you know, the phrase is used by someone that some of us like them, some of us don't. You know, prison planet is an apt term for what they're wanting.
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, I believe Snowden is writing a book now, too. But there's one thing I can't understand. Why does he want to be extradited from Russia to France? Have you heard that?
I
have heard that one. And I would, you know, maybe he's tired of where he's living in Russia. You know, maybe he feels that he can get better, I don't know, have more friends in France. You know?
I don't know, but... I would imagine nowadays he's safer in Russia than he would be in France. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen.
Good show. God bless you both now.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Chance. Appreciate it. And, So, hey, Ken, did you wanted to jump in there? I heard you come in for a second.
No, I was just saying that's the point that everybody.
They do have something on everybody. And it's and you might not even know what it was. You know, last week we had the fall of Prime Minister, President of Canada, you know, Mr. I dress like everywhere else. Did you see all that Trudeau stuff, Alan, by chance?
Yeah, bits and pieces of it, probably not as intense as you folks with the true internet, but yeah, okay. You know, once again, you know, at the time that it was done, you know, it was not, you know, just such a social, you know,
It was playful fun, what he was doing. And I understand that they want to say that was racially insensitive for him to do this. But, you know, so he comes out and he's painted his face brown and he tries to look like Aladdin, right? You know, it's like, okay, that's why they sold the brown face paint and the yellow face and the blue and whatever. And so, but as you looked at the character that went into the individual of Trudeau, right, and then they started dragging other things out, they pointed out pictures of him in India, and he had his entire family all dressed up in flashy Indian garb. He's definitely a showboat. He's definitely big into playing dress up, right? Big deal, right? He didn't dress up like a, you know, and I'm not, yeah, I am defending him, actually, you know, dressing up, and I don't like the character, not at all. But he dressed up in a brown face to pretend like he was a genie. He did nothing wrong, right? But on the altar of sacrifice, his head was laid. And was that a good thing, a bad thing? Seems like they're coming around to eat their own, Alan.
Yeah, it's they're creating the world where hurting someone's feelings is a felony, and everyone will be indicted, and it will be a prison planet. Because if you look back at anyone's past, everyone—I mean, who's not gone to a toga party or, you know, blah blah blah? Yeah, it's now that's hurting someone's feelings because they were indoctrinated that way from the time that they got into Head Start program, while their parents were both out running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to keep a roof over their head. You know, this is the world that they've created, and it's getting worse, and it's getting, you know, more and more. You know, they've got condom relays now, you know, in school, and the whole thing is, man, Charlotte Iserbeet, it was so spot on, deliberate dumbing down of this country.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, it's funny, we talk about Agenda 21 a lot. And I hear that Colorado was one of the earliest implemented sites for Agenda 21 policies and procedures. And for some reason, Colorado is always popular for these kind of things, right? I mean, how many things can you point to, right? There's the mural over at the airport, the Dallas airport, and not the Dallas
Denver
airport,
International, yeah.
Denver International. There's
look what happened to Vail, Steve. You know, look what happened to Vail. You know, Vail. That was one of the first towns that I can remember hearing about. You know, about, oh, all the beautiful people wanted to move to Vail, and as they started moving in, all the normal people that lived there, or the people that loved to go up there and ski in those areas, well, they got kind of priced out of the whole situation, didn't it? Didn't they? You know, and that's what's happening to our town. It's the Vail model. It's happening all across this country.
Right. You know, several years ago, there was a group of folks came out of nowhere, and it was called Free the Nipple. So they wanted women to be able to walk around in public without shirts on, and, you know, okay, got it, you know, there's some pretty hot chicks, and it would be nice, but, you know, come on, man, really? You know, and I don't know. Beaches are, well, I don't know. I really, you know, we've been seeing what happens with that here in Austin with it was basically an attempt to shame things where this lady with 4-foot breasts walks around, you know, trying to get in the camera, you know, the entire time, you know, during political events. But whatever, I guess I don't care if you have your shirt on or not. But this town in was sued in Fort Collins, Colorado, because Free the Nipple wanted to be able to go around there shirtless, and they wanted more than adults to be able to go around shirtless. They sued, and won, and now it's settled, the right to walk around with being shirtless and being a female from the age of 11 up. And I'm like, what? And so the town folks have spent $320,000 on lawyers trying to keep the Free the Nipple folks from allowing minors to walk around the streets half naked. And, well, they lost, and they're not going to feel it. It's just going through. So what kind of cascade does that have on the rest of our world as we see this pedophilia and child...
Steve, the phrase from an organization that actually gets government funding, the phrase sex before 8 or it's too late comes to mind, Steve.
Yeah, That's Mamblo, right? Man, boy,
yep.
something.
North American Man, Boy, Love Association. Aren't you great?
But Alan, yeah. when you talk about that, it's just so extreme, and it's in people's face that they go, so what's the weather like? You know, it's too much to take in. But then on the shirt tails of, and God, I hate this term. You know, there's a lot of talk shows go, but it's a really teachable moment. Going like, shut up. But you know, the Epstein, the Stallman thing, you know, it shows into this new thing over there in Colorado, over at, where the hell is that? Fort Collins. I remember Dave Hodges used to talk about Fort Collins a lot, didn't he?
How about Nancy Battle, Steve?
Yeah,
someone
yeah.
real close to us.
Sure, you know, but it's
she was a real estate agent out there. I mean, she was almost crying when she told me her story about, you know, all those years. You know, I was making money, but you know, I always thought I was really helping people find a place, you know, for them to retire that they could build their dream house on and live the rest of their life in comfort and, you know, do what they wanted to on their own property. And her husband, you know, bought a piece of property and tried to build on it. And she found out that, oh, no, you can't build there. You can only build here, and you can only build a chicken hut, you know. And she's like, and I found out, and she goes, we really don't own anything. And I said, welcome to the world, Nancy. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I get, you know, I had one of those conversations this week, Alan, and where I was telling somebody, you know, we were talking about buying houses, and he said, well, you can never truly buy a house. You know, I'm freaking sick of hearing that. I am so sick of hearing that. But you never buy a house. No, but what the hell am I supposed to call it? What the hell am I supposed to call it? Right? Or is a lease? I'm going to sign a death grip, a mortgage, and then lease my house from the government. I'll pay it off completely and then lease it from the government. You know, nobody understands that damn term. Yet we all want to, you know, slice hairs and say, well, I own the land, but I have to pay the government, so I don't really own it. I don't know. Well, maybe they've caught me in a conundrum there, Alan. But it's really chaps my hide, I guess the word is. Because when I heard that, it was kind of like, it's like somebody slapped me in the face. Well, you can never own a house. So, of course, you know, we both know that. Why are you slapping me? You know, it's kind of crazy. Maybe I'm overreacting.
We've got a copy of the grant, Steve. Signed by then president of the Republic of Texas, Sam Houston, granting free and clear to you know, a great great grandparent of 640 acres of land,
right, to never be taxed. And right. I remember reading that, and then I wondered why somebody was able to circumvent that, because once that was given by the state of or the country of Texas. You know, all of a sudden,
I'm sorry, Steve. I called in a fair and show yesterday and kind of ranted for a while. And it's the insidious nature of the way that they do it. It's like, well, we're just going to have a 1% income tax, you know, and we've just got to do that to fund blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it'll never go any higher than that. And it'll be spread across to everyone. You know, everyone will be paying the same amount. And this is the way the camel's nose under the tent, the foot in the door, whatever you want to call it. Insidious nature of the way they do things. They play on most people's basic goodness. And oh well, sure, that sounds logical. You know, we'll let everyone that does not own property vote on whether to raise taxes on property owners. You know, all the people that are, well, sure, you know, we want more stuff. You know, and them people that own that property, well, they got everything anyway. You know, the manipulation, just the way they do it, Steve, I wish I could admire what they do.
I know. I got it. We can set examples. I mean, a good example right now is the attack on vaping, right? There's been electric cigarette companies, right? So now they're going after them because they're killing people. And then you go, well, how are you killing people? Well, we don't know yet, but we're trying to figure out. Well, we should tax them more. Oh, yeah, we should tax them more because they're killing people. Well, how are they killing people? Oh, we don't know, but they're killing people. Oh, okay, well, when you let me know when you find out. Oh, but we're going to tax them because they're killing people.
It's okay, Steve. The government's going to come in and regulate that whole business, Steve, so that'll make everyone safe. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But what's killing people? Oh, well, we don't know, but we're going to regulate it, so don't worry.
Yeah, that's about it. I'm wondering what's going on. I got number 5.
I wonder
right
if all these
here.
People that are now hooked on vaping, Steve, seeing as to how, you know, pot's becoming legal, you know, and I heard somewhere that they're going to let, you know, some place was going to let, you know, all the pot smokers out. And, well, they got to have something to replace in the private prison system, so maybe they're going to go after the vapers now. Who the
yeah,
hell knows?
I don't know. I remember those guys being pushed away from smoking. I remember the smokers that turned into vapers, and now they vape a smoke, right? Or they smoke a vape. And, you know, so they're whatever. Anyways, we've got a phone call. We are running near the top of the hour. But let's probably... The meaning of the word is Chris near Las Vegas. Chris near Las Vegas. Hello.
Well, good morning, my fellow constituents in the Republic of Texas. How are you doing today, sirs?
I think we're okay. Alan?
Doing good. Oh, yeah, you're going to do some wordification in for us there today?
Well, I've got a couple of fill in the blanks for you on things you've been talking about.
Okay.
You mentioned Dave Hodges and the shows he used to do on Fort Collins, Colorado. That was on the Stacey Lynn case, and Pat
yep.
Stryker, one of the county commissions up there, and they basically they stole her child from her. She was doing everything she could to get
right.
it back, fighting the administrative agencies up there, and it was horrific for her. It was costing her all kinds of money, and I ran into a number of things like this, similar calls on RBN where I got involved in some advocacy and activism work on against DCF CPS, which has become a child sex trafficking, along with the Epstein group and others like that ilk, and discovered so many things that led me down this path to where I'm at. The other aspect that you were mentioning was, you know, how you rent from the government. Well, what we're not taught, and the attorneys have foisted on the American people, the twisters of words, is that when you list yourself as a joint tenant in common, when you look up the meaning of the word tenant, it's renter.
All
right. Hang on there.
Yeah, we're
going
to go to break.
We're going into break. So we don't get the bumper music. Be right back. Hang on, folks.
Sure.
Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews. But this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hour 2. Oh, wow, that was me. Wow, I was just saying that. I was just thinking about saying that, too. Anyways, Republic of Texas Radio Hour 2, like I just said. We're joined by Chris near Las Vegas. Yeah, carry on, Chris. What were you thinking?